All right, good morning. Normally we're going through the book of Philippians verse by verse, but I'll pick that up in 2 weeks because we have the anniversary service next week. People are going to give their testimonies and I'll bring the gospel. But today I want to talk about a thing I only talk about once a year. It's prayer and fasting. And I kind of want you to forget everything you kind of know about it, or maybe your failures of even fasting. Like, oh, I tried that. So hopefully you come fresh and new with that this year. But we all sacrifice to do things, right? I mean, some of you love sports, some of you love, you know, music, whatever. I mean, I love my grandkids, and we go to Atlanta, and sometimes we have to get up at 4:15 in the morning to get to the airport, you know. So we'll sacrifice for things we really want to do. And so my challenge to you today is, do you want to see souls saved in your family? Do you want to see marriages, you know, getting stronger? Do you want to see people who are addicted get off of drugs and alcohol? You know, maybe you're struggling with besetting sins in your own life. We all have them. Like, sometimes it's going to take more to break those addictions, even our own life. And not just alcohol, drugs, it's food, it's worry, it's bitterness. There's more to it. Not just, we look at, you know, I'm not a drug addict. But it's bigger than that. And so if you want to have victory, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit more. And this is where fasting comes in, and prayer as well. Some people live like bad attitudes and constant frustration, anxiety. And this is one of the ways to break that. And you'll see as we go into this. You look at any revival that happened in anywhere, even in America, that was fasting that took place in prayer before it. So turn with me to Genesis 32. Going to go to a couple passages. We're going to go to Matthew, and then we're going to end up in Isaiah. But I just want to give an example here of Jacob. Remember Jacob and Esau? Like, this is like 20 years later. He stole the birthright, right, from his brother, and now he's going to go back and see his brother. He's all nervous. And so here he meets, and most believe it's a Christophany, Jesus himself. So let's just pick up in Genesis 32, verse 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled the man." Again, most believe he's talking about with him is Jesus himself. And again, wrestling is exhausting. In Hebrew, Hosea 12:4 says he wept and made supplication. So he's wrestling with him until the breaking of the day. And verse 25, "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh." So he kept wrestling. Finally, Jesus touches the hollow of his thigh and was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, so this is Jacob saying now, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." So there's, see, he's in pain. He's thriving. He's still seeking after God in prayer here. And we'll couple fasting with it in a minute. And then he says in verse 27, he said unto them, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Now remember, Jacob, what does it mean? He was the deceiver, the supplanter, right? He stole the birthright. He stole the blessing that Isaac was supposed to give to his brother, right? And then we're going to read in a minute a little bit further here. So I just want to say that if you want to overcome something or somebody overcomes something, it's not going to just be a little teeny prayer that you pray every day. It's going to be more than that. It's going to require more than that. You'll see when we get to Matthew. It says, this kind only goes out with prayer and fasting. So there's some strongholds that have to be broken, and it takes more than just a little teeny prayer. I'm not saying those aren't important. All right, so let's look at results really quick here of wrestling and prayer. The first thing I find, if you're taking notes, is that a power with God and man. Look at the verse 28. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel," which means to persist with God. "For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men." So when we start praying, we start interceding deeper and deeper and sacrificing, it's going to bring power from God's hand, and you're going to have more power in your life because you're going to be closer to God. You're going to be doing his will. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We could do great things as we yield to God and his power. Think of David, a little shepherd boy, kills Goliath. Goliath was as tall as the ceiling. It's about 10-foot ceiling. He was like 9'9". I mean, his armor was 150 pounds, probably what David weighed. From a standpoint of, there's no way this could happen. Remember, Saul was saying, hey, take my armor. He started to put it on. He's like, nah, forget this. It wasn't the stone that killed Goliath. It was God. God directing the stone. You got to always remember the power is in God. It's not in who we are and what we do. But if we fail to wrestle, we're going to faint. And Jesus said that in Luke 18:1. Men had always to pray and not faint. So watch. You have your choice. When you're struggling with someone or somebody else, and you're either going to fast and pray and seek God with it, or you're going to give up and live in the status quo. Is that what you want? Is that what I want? No. Some people, that's what they do. They just give up. It's always going to be like this. I'm always going to struggle with this. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's, I don't know. So I'm challenging you today. Yeah, I'm challenging you today to really pray and start fasting. We'll get into that in a minute. The second thing I see in this text is the prevailing over the struggles. Because then it says, look at verse 28. It says, and with men and has prevailed. So it's saying here, as you pray, the word prevail there in the Hebrew has to do it to be able. The idea is to able to keep going through the struggle and have victory. So as we pray, we give our burdens over to God, right? We get stronger to keep going on. One of the things, and you guys all know that I lost my son. When I focus on losing my son, and I just focus on that, it just brings me sadness. So what I have to do all the time, when it comes up, I just have to give it over to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I give you my son. I got work to do until you take me home. Amen. Now, I don't know what it is in your life, what that thing that drains you, if you let it stay there. Remember, I preached a message one time. It's like, you know, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Peter 5:7. That word casting means to throw upon, keep throwing upon him. And I preached a message, and I had weights here, and I took a 10-pound weight. I didn't pray. And I took another 10 pounds. I didn't pray. Before you know it, that's exactly what happened spiritually. So if you have to pray 10 times a day, 20 times a day to give this thing over. I remember, I'm just looking at Kobe for a second. We were texting a while back, and she goes, help me not to, I'm sure you don't mind me saying, it's nothing private. She said, help me not to sweat the small stuff. Right? Because we all sweat the small stuff. You keep sweating the small stuff, it turns into something big, though. That's what happens, right? And it ends up draining you, and you're not going to do the things that God wants you to do. The third thing I see in this text is the pouring of blessings on our lives. Look at verse 29. It says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou askest after me? After thy name, and he blessed him there. So he kept wrestling and kept wrestling. Finally, God said, all right, I'm going to bless you. That's like in Luke 18, when in that culture, the parents kind of slept by the door, and the kids were over there, and they slept by the wall, and the kids had to go over to kids to go to the door. God kept knocking on the door, kept praying. Finally, all right, I'm just going to give it. So he shuts up. I'm not saying God is like that, but he's just saying that continual asking and the asking and the asking. Now, God could say yes, no, or wait, and that's up to him. Sometimes I heard somebody say last week, well, God isn't answering prayer. And because they wanted the answer yes, and God wasn't saying yes. The answer may be no, or maybe wait. That's up to him. He knows better. What if every parent gave their kid everything they asked for? So, no, you're not going to get this now. It's going to destroy your life. Or you're not mature enough to handle that, right? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." So just being in Christ, we have spiritual blessings. However, practically, God does not move sometimes without prayer and fasting. It's that next step, if you will. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things." Listen, if we don't call, he ain't going to answer. Right? So you got to call. If you don't call, he's not going to answer. I love that verse. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." Do you ever, sometimes, you get a call coming in, you see who it is, and you're like, I'm not answering that. I don't want to talk to them right now. They're just going to complain or whatever it is. Like, God always answers. Yeah. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It's a great, great statement. Then it gives an example, Elijah. It says, Elijah was a man subject to passions. Hey, meaning like, he's just like you and I. He struggles with struggles. I love that word. "As we are, and he earnestly prayed." So that earnestly idea, again, going back to is struggling. Struggling in prayer. "That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Listen, I prayed 15 years for God to bring wood to my house. And every year, God brings the wood. In the last 2 years, I didn't even get it to my truck. They dropped it off in my driveway. One guy just cut it up for me. And you think that's a little thing. I pray that every morning. Lord, can you supply the wood that I need to heat my house? Can you keep my cars going? If they break down, can you provide newer ones? I never went one penny in debt for a car. I'm not saying it's wrong. Some people have business, they drive 100,000 miles, they need to rent a car. I get it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, like, we don't ask for things. That's why we don't get them. And I'm not saying to consume it upon our lust. James 4 says, you're asking you may consume it upon it. No, it's like, you need heat in your house, don't you? You need a car to drive. Those are basic things, really. You got to pray. God could do anything. So that we worry about those things. The fourth thing I see in this text is a personal change in our lives takes place. Look at verse 31 and 30 and 31 says this. "And Jacob called the place Peniel." Says, "For I have seen God face to face." Remember, that was veiled, because if you see God face to face in his complete glory, what would happen to you? You would die. "And my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So you know what? Jacob, God touched his thigh, and he limped. Did he limp for the rest of his life? He may have. I don't know. Maybe he did. So when you start praying, you know what's going to happen? God's going to change you the most when you pray. He's going to change you. I've seen that happen in some people in this room as they matured. I pray with Ken a lot. I've seen Ken change. I could just hear it as he prays. Nick, you're another one. I discipled you, but I just hear, when I pray with you now, I could just hear it. I could just hear the growth and the closeness that you have with God. Amen. It's not to pray to impress people. That's why we have 4 prayer meetings a week. Churches don't have prayer meetings. You know why? No one shows up. Oh, we only have the things that bring a lot of people. "If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked way." That's God's plan. If it's just you and me praying, that's fine. I don't care. I'm going to stick to what God says. Not what's going to bring more people so we could say we have all these people. It means nothing before God. Go to the book of Revelation. You think that you're rich, but he says, what? the church of Laodicea, you're actually poor, spiritually speaking. Forget about what people think. It'll destroy you. Just worry about what God thinks. Third, the fifth thing is people are affected. Look at verse 32. It says, therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew, that's the sciatic nerve, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So people now are like affected by you. So as you get closer to God and you're praying and you're seeking God, you know what's going to happen? And you pray for other people, they're going to start, you're going to affect them. My wife, Linda, she prays for UNH students all the time. She knows she works there with the police department, right? She's praying and praying for all her employees, everything. The other day, a person came up to her and said, I just want to let you know first. Actually, I'm leaving here, but I'm coming to you and telling you this because you know what? You appreciate me. Yeah, you appreciate me. And I just want to let you know first about, you know, the person is leaving. And great guy. You see, my point is showing is that as you pray for people and you treat people like Christ-like, you're affecting them, whether you realize it or not. But the opposite is true. If you're not praying for them and you're not treating them Christ-like, you're showing them the opposite. I don't want to be no Christian. Now, that's not going to be no excuse when they're standing before God. But listen, we affect people as we seek God in a greater way. All right, now, go with me to Matthew 17. And now it says here in this text here, praying is great, and we see that wrestling, but he's saying now you got to couple that with fasting in some cases, and I'll give you the example here that Jesus gives. In Matthew 17, look at verse 14. It says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, for my son, for he is a lunatic, and it's actually the idea of moonstruck, he's epileptic. In this case, not saying in every case, he was demon-possessed. He's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil or the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now, let me stop there for a second. Remember, in Matthew chapter 10, he gave them the power to do it. But in this case, they didn't do it. Why is the question? Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And always remember, according to God's will, 1 John 5:14. People say, remember that whole charismatic teaching, that prosperity theology teaching? If I have enough faith, I have enough faith, it's going to happen. I claim it by faith, that's nonsense. Right? Sometimes God's going to say no. I told you before, I prayed for that building over across the street, and I asked God for it over and over again, and thank God he said no. Why? Because it's contaminated. It cost $3-4 million to clean it up inside. Thank God he said no. See, we think we know what's best, but your Father knows best. And then it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. So what happened to the disciples was this. What is prayer? Prayer is dependence on God and fasting. What happened is they were trusting in the power that God gave them. They weren't trusting in God. They weren't disciplining themselves. That's what happens sometimes with us too. God's given us talents, abilities. We start doing things in our own strength. That's what happens to them. They stop depending on God. And nothing gets accomplished. Sometimes we know the right things to say as a Christian to other people, but we're not willing to pray and fast for that to be broken. And that's why I'm challenging you again. It's another step. Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth weeping, again, there's that praying, bearing precious seed, that's going with the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. God can do anything. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, he's not talking to lost people, if my people who call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face with fasting, I'll throw that in there, and turn from their wicked ways. It's a lot of people don't want to talk about that either. Then, and only then, will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, let's talk about fasting now. Before I get into, really quick, some of the types, the purposes and all that, and eventually I'm going to end with the blessings, let me just talk about what God uses food. I just kind of looked at the scriptures. First one, to sustain us. We need food to sustain us, right? Genesis 1:30 says, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so, right? I mean, this is before the flood, remember? They didn't eat meat. But then after the flood, Genesis 9:3, they did eat meat. Every moving thing, now it says, that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have given to you all things. Second thing is to, it satisfies us. It's enjoyable. I believe in heaven we'll have a redeemed body. We won't need food to exist, but we'll still enjoy it. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says there's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink. It's not talking about getting drunk. And that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. 1 Timothy 6:17 says God's given us richly all things to enjoy, of course, within his boundaries. I love the summer because there's more different fruits coming out. I love fruit. I can't wait for watermelon. I love watermelon in the summer. All these foods that God gave us and the taste, it's awesome. I remember when we got COVID, Linda's kind of lost some of her taste. I lost some. Her smell is like half now. She can't smell like what she used to before. Three is to surround people together. It's not the main purpose, but in Deuteronomy 12:18 says, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in a place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Here is speaking of sacrifices. And thy son and thy daughter and thy maidservant and the Levite that was within the gates, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that puttest thy hand to do. So obviously throughout the scriptures you see where food brings people together. I'm not saying it's a main purpose. True fellowship is around God. It's not really around food. We say that. When you have food things, everybody comes. You have a prayer meeting, hardly nobody comes. It's sad, really. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I don't do that anymore. Because I used to, was in a church a long time, where they said guilt people, and then 20 people would be out, and then 5 people, and then the same 2 people would be there. You have to have it in your heart. Right, it's twisting people's arms doesn't work. As soon as you let go of their arm. But I tell you what, you start seeking God more. You'll start praying more with your wife, your kids, these people. You want to, you start seeing the power of God. Yeah. But if you don't think it works, think about why we don't pray. I've prayed that before. It doesn't work. Nothing's happening. You know, we're like, oh, I'm so tired. The disciples, they fell asleep. I'm trying to show you that there's power in it, but we're not really tapping into that power. And I'm not saying for your selfish desires either. Think about if we prayed as much as we're on social media or on the TV or on the computer. Wow. And I preach to myself too. I'm not preaching just to you. The last thing is to sound thanksgiving to himself. To sound thanksgiving to himself. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused is received with thanksgiving. For to sanctify the word of God and prayer. That's what I think most people, we get that from. We pray for our food. We get it from this passage. Thank God. Thank God. During the week, I was making my grass-fed beef, organic rice, and beans. I love it. Put a little marinara sauce. I get it from Aldi's. She led me onto that. So I go there and I put it on and I was cooking it. I hear a knock at the door. So I go to the door. It's 2 UNH baseball players. And they said, can I have some wood? You know, they're always willing to pay me. I said, no, I don't want any money. So I said, yeah, go get some wood. And as he turned around walking away, he goes, "Wow, that food smells good." So while he's getting the wood, I got some food for both of them. I brought it out to him and I gave him a flyer and told him who I was and say, "Hey, you can have my wood, but you got to come to church. There's the deal." So their baseball players are actually playing the next two Sundays, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I saw them again and they'll say, "Yeah, we're going to come, but you know, we got a game." And he goes, "Man, this food is really good." All right, what is fasting? Really quick now, what is fasting? The Greek noun in the New Testament has the idea of to abstain from food. Write down, the idea is self-denial. That's the idea of fasting, self-denial. In the Old Testament, it's the same idea. It's like the afflicting of the soul, and not only the body, but the person. Our flesh does not want to deny itself. It's the opposite. We want to indulge ourselves. That's the world's philosophy. Eat, drink, be merry. So this idea is like the total opposite, is to deny yourself. So the world teaches, hey, just go make yourself happy. That ain't going to work. So this is why this is the next step here. You have to deny yourself in order to fast. And food, which is a big, huge addiction. Huge addiction. If you don't think so, come talk to me. I'm going to look what you're eating. I won't go down that path. If you want to accomplish anything in your life, you're going to have to deny yourself. I'm talking about anything. You want to have a great marriage? You're going to have to deny yourself to serve that other person. I'm going to do premarital counseling with you guys soon. You guys are getting married. We're going to talk about that, Jeremiah. You want to be a great husband? First thing is you're going to have to sacrifice. Yeah. It's not the opposite. You want to be a great athlete? You can't eat certain things. You got to get up. You got to train. You got to go through pain. Kobe Bryant, he was an NBA player. He obviously lost his life, but they say he was so dedicated. He'd be the first one to practice, the last one to practice. This thing of like easy, oh, I'm just going to accomplish nonsense. You accomplish nothing by complaining and saying, "I'm in this place." We were talking about the other day. And people always complain, "It's because of this person, that's where I am." Stop it. It's all the decisions you made is where you're at. Yeah, there's things that affect you, I get it, but stop complaining about other people. It's getting you nowhere. Self-pity will destroy your life. Start making biblical decisions in those areas. Start thinking biblical. Calling on God's power. All right, three types of fasting really quick here. Abstain from food only, not liquids. We see that in Luke 4, 1 through 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was left by the Spirit into wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. So they don't mention liquid here, so we're just assuming it's just food. And when they were added, he afterward hungered. I'm just going to stop there. I've got to move quickly here. So this involves just drinking water, some type of juice, but no food. This is the most common one used, especially for a prolonged fast. The second one is abstain from all food and liquids. We see it in Deuteronomy 9:9. "When I was going up into the mount to receive the tablets," this is Moses, by the way, "tablets of stones, even the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I did eat bread nor drink water." Now, I do not encourage this. This is something where God led him to do this. We all need three basic things. We need oxygen, right? We need water. We need sodium. Those are the top three. Oxygen within minutes, you can have an aneurysm, whatever. You don't have oxygen, you're damaged right away. Water, you can go maybe like 3 days without water. Food, you can go like 40. And by the way, you can drink a gallon of water and still be dehydrated. You know why? Because you need sodium to pull it into the cell. So make sure it's Baha'i salt or Celtic sea salt. Throw away the bad salt. When you drink water, make sure you're having some salt with it. There's my Haven of Hope side right there. Faith, food, and fitness, right? And the third one is abstain from certain types of food. We kind of see that in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. This is when they were taken to captivity in 605 BC. And it says, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he should not defile with a portion of the king's meat. Again, remember those offered to idols. It was not the process according to the law of Moses, so he didn't want to do it. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he required of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with a prince of eunuchs. And the prince of eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, my king, who have appointed you meat and your drink, for why should you see your faces worse lightning or worse looking? The children which are of your sort, then you shall make me endanger my head to the king. He's just saying, look, if you guys don't eat this stuff and you look worse, I'm in big trouble. They're going to kill me. Then Daniel said to Belshazzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs set him over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to drink and water to drink. So this type of fast is for like a diabetic, somebody hypoglycemic. You got to be very careful if you're that. Be careful of your sugar and all that kind of stuff. Make sure you're testing that. Now, the length of fast in the Bible, I see part of the day by King Darius. I'm going to do this really quick. A whole day, you see the children of Israel do that. 3 days, we see Esther and the Jews did it. Right? When Haman was going to wipe out the Jewish people. 1 week we see David for the child Bathsheba, remember, in 2 Samuel 12. We see it 2 weeks Paul on others on the Rome ship in Rome. 3 weeks by Daniel, and then 40 days by Moses. He did it 3 times, actually. We see Elijah did it, and also Jesus did it. Now, frequency of fast. In the Old Testament, only 1 day was required. It was the Day of Atonement. That was the only day it was required in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's not commanded to fast. It's assumed that you will. So go with me to Matthew 6. I'll show you that. Matthew 6. Look at verse 16. Beginning at verse 16, it says, moreover, when you fast. It's not said if you fast. Same thing in verse 17. But thou, when thou fast. So he's assuming, Jesus is assuming that you will fast. The early church Christians, they fasted every Wednesday and Friday. We see that in history. The Pharisees fasted Monday and Wednesday, but they didn't do it the right way, and that leads me to wrong reasons to fast real quick. One, to show that you're more spiritual than others. Look at this text right here, Matthew 6, 16. He goes, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. Right? So he's saying, it's like, I'm fasting, everybody. Look at me. Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so spiritual. He's like, don't do that. He says, verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, comb your hair, come on, take a shower, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. All right? Second, it's not to shed unwanted weight only. Again, this is a spiritual fast. I'm going to talk about physical in a minute. There's some benefits to it. I'm going to throw it in this year, so stick with me for a second. But that's not the main purpose. It's obviously spiritual. But I'll tell you what, if you fast 5 days twice a year, your chances of getting cancer is going to go way, way, way down. There's other benefits as well. I'll show those in a minute. Number three, to gain some special approval with God. Now, I'm going to be careful with this, and I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, which we're in, some shall depart from the faith, that's the embodiment of truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared without iron. What are they teaching? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Listen, when I was a Catholic and I read it for this first time, and I'm not saying Catholics can't be saved, but not because of the Catholic dogma. They don't believe, they believe Jesus is God, but they don't believe faith alone. They believe faith plus works, called the sacraments of grace. I was a Catholic, I know. Get confirmed, get baptized. When you're doing those, God's giving you grace. No, absolutely not. That's works. That's not the right dog. That's not true. I always tell people, get out of the Catholic church, go to a church that preaches the Bible. Right? I love Catholic people. I was Catholic. So Catholicism does not teach the true gospel. But people can get saved despite the Catholic church. I was watching the TV, and I got saved, and I went to the Catholic church, and I'm like, I don't belong here anymore, I'm out. Because they don't preach the Bible verse by verse, like, right? And I'm not bashing anybody, I want everybody to be saved. I pray every day for the mayor to the person sleeping on the bench in this town. And the person sleeping on the bench is just as important as the mayor, by the way. companion to abstain from meats which God has created to receive with thanksgiving. I mean, I've heard people say, I remember you said, I'm for Lent, I'm giving up chocolate so God can do this. I mean, you think about that. It's just nonsense. That's what I'm trying to do. So gain some special thing by saying, I'm going to give up chocolate for 40 days, you know. No. And then the last one we got to be careful of is to manipulate God for selfish reasons. And here's a great scripture, Acts 12:13. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that we would neither eat nor drink till we had killed Paul. Huh. Yeah, they were fasting, but for the wrong reason. They're trying to kill Paul. Elmer Towns, great quote, he says this, the purpose of all worship, including fasting, is to change the worshiper in ways that have social and interpersonal impact. We worship not to, just to gratify ourselves. Let me just say that, but I love that. Let me finish the quote. But also to become empowered to change the world. And people say, I feel so good when I'm worshiping God. It's not about you. People, I try to get people, it's about God. You're worshiping Him. It's not about your feelings. You got to be so careful. I said, what? I have no feelings. No, it's talking about you're supposed to be giving glory to God. If the benefit is that you feel something, that's great, but that's not what it's all about. It's about Him. It's not about you. Because let me tell you, I'm preaching about fasting. Who's just like, where do I sign up? That's not a good thing. I feel like doing it so much. Right? It's denial. You see what I'm trying to get at? Like, Christianity is kind of warped a little bit in America. It's all about me and how I feel. And I feel so good. It's not about that. Now, biblical thinking will produce the right emotions. When we cast our cares upon God, Philippians 4:6, He will guard our minds and our hearts and our emotions, and we'll think right. So biblical thinking always produces the right emotion. So I'm not against emotion. But don't let emotions and feelings control your life. You're going to be in big trouble. I don't feel like going to work tomorrow. I don't feel like going to work Tuesday. Before you know, you're going to be broke. All right, I'm taking too long here. I'm going to get going here. Purpose of fasting, okay? We're going to do that. We're going to end up with blessings, okay? So go to Isaiah 58, last passage here. Go to Isaiah 58 real quick here. So I'm going to give you reasons to fast. One is to release practical bondage of sin. Look at chapter 58. Look at verse 6 real quick here. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here it is, to loose the bands of wickedness. So we're going to fast because of our besetting sins or somebody else's. Someone's struggling with alcohol, you're struggling with drugs, smoking, complaining, eating, sexual sin, pornography, whatever it is. You're tired of it. You're tired of other people being in it. You're going to help. You're going to fast and pray to break that. That's what he said here, to loose the bands, right? Those bands of wickedness. I've helped people, you know, fast and pray with them to get off of drugs. And I got them eating healthy, exercising, all the thing, that whole person thing. Are you struggling right now with a besetting sin? Yeah, I'm sure you are, if you're honest. You want to break it? And sometimes it's going to take prayer and fasting and then fasting again. Maybe it's not just going to be one time. You want somebody else to pair up with somebody and say, all right, I'll fast and pray with you over this. Again, that's not, oh, I love this. It's, no, you have to deny yourself. Second thing is to find direction and solution to your problems. Look at the next part of the verse here. It says to undo the heavy burdens. To undo the heavy burdens. So you're so burdened about problems in your marriage, in your kids, maybe direction, which way will I go? I remember to buy this building, I started fasting, Lord, you want us to buy this building? Thank God he blessed us, it's paid for. Third thing is for promoting revival and evangelism. Look at 6, it goes on to say, to let the oppressed go free, right? Those who are lost to get saved, right? Again, any revival, you see that happen, right? Even think of Jonah, the Ninevites, right? Jonah 3:5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth. That's the Old Testament idea. From the greatest of them even to the least. What if everybody fasted in this church? And all the Christians in this town fasted. All the believers in the town fasted. What would happen? How bad do you want people to get saved in your life? Paul in Romans 9, 2 and 3 says that I have the greatest heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were a curse for Christ for my brethren. He's saying, look, that's the word anathema. I'll go to destruction. I'll go to hell if everybody that I love will go to heaven. Would you do that? I'll go to hell so everybody can be saved except me. Wow. So here's what I'm challenging today. Everybody that's a believer here, I want you to fast one day this week. The Jews did it from sunset to sunset. Makes sense. Watch. You eat supper, you miss breakfast and lunch, and you eat supper again. Who can't do that? We do it all the time. I'm so busy, I didn't even eat. But now you have a purpose. And I'll close with that, how to define that in a second. All right, another one real quick. Write this down. D, to provide relief for the self-destructive emotions. Because it goes on to say in the end of verse 6, it says, and that ye break every yoke. There's the emotional kind of yokes in our lives that just drain us. And sometimes it's got to be broken through fasting and obviously biblical thinking. Think about it. When you are stressed out, what do you run to? A lot of people run to sugar. That chocolate chip cookie. Why? Because you have a dopamine effect. You eat that thing and I feel so much better. And your problems have not gotten better. And your body's going to take that and then you're going to crash. You're going to feel even worse later. But that's what we do. What do you run to when you're stressed? Is it complaining? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it, I don't know what it is in your life. And then real quick here, to meet other physical needs, verse 7, real quick, it says this, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou mayest bring the poor that thou cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked and that cover him, that they hide not thyself from thine own flesh? So here is just saying, look, would you fast and pray that God will provide somebody? Sometimes he may use you. When I start Haven of Hope, Lord willing, in a couple of years, I'm going to be fasting. Like, God, give me direction. Provide for that. And F, to express passion, mourning over someone's death. You see in the Old Testament, I'm not go to those passages, but there's many of those. So I didn't exhaust the list here, but those are the main ones. Let's end with now the benefits of fasting. Okay? The first one, write down real quick. We'll get proper direction in our life. Look at verse 8. It says, then, after you're done fasting, seeking God in prayer, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Go down to verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hunger and satisfy thy afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as noonday. So he's saying, I'm going to give you light and direction now as you're fasting and praying. You're going to have direction of what to do. All right? B on your outline. We will feel better physically. Look what it says. This is Bible now. And thy health shall spring forth speedily. Now, I found this thing from Johns Hopkins University, the benefits of fasting. Okay, real quick. Fasting offers several physical benefits, primarily by inducing a metabolic switch where the body, after exhausts all the sugar stored, begins burning fat for energy. This process, along with other cellular changes, contributes to improvements in all overall metabolic health and a potential reduction in the risk of certain chronic conditions. Let me give you four real quick. This is what everyone dies of. Watch. Weight loss. You want weight loss? Fasting adds in weight and fat loss by limiting calorie intake and encouraging the body to use stored fat. So watch. You put sugar in first, your body goes after all the sugar. That's all done, it goes after the fat. You want to lose weight? You fast because goes after all the sugar. Wait, there's no more sugar. I'm going to go after the fat. Fasting. Yeah. Improve blood control. Diabetes. Fasting can significantly lower blood glucose and insulin levels and increase insulin sensitivity, not insulin resistance, which is benefit for managing and reducing type 2 diabetes. Better health. It can reduce several risk factors, heart disease, including lower blood pressure, total cholesterol, triglycerol levels will go down. These are all the benefits of fasting. There's people who will fast just for what I'm talking about. Nothing to do with spiritual. The fourth thing, to reduce inflammation. Fasting may help decrease levels of inflammation markers like C-reactive protein in the body, which plays a role in various chronic diseases as arthritis, multiple sclerosis. I just named the things that people struggle with the most. Sugar, heart disease, arthritis. You're going to have to couple that with what you put in your body too, by the way. Autophagy. I mean, only the medical people may know what that is. It's the recycling of damaged proteins. And when you start fasting, the body goes, simply put, eats up all the bad protein, all the bad stuff. It kind of encircles it, gets rid of all that bad stuff. It's detoxifying. It's incredible. You fast one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, just compounds of things that, it's helping your body so much. All right, C, will set you free from practical righteousness. Look at 8 again. It says, and the righteousness shall go before thee. You know what happens when you fast and pray? God starts purifying your life, and you start living more holy, and it affects you and other people. Remember Saul and Barnabas prayed? They fasted in Acts 13. They affected so many people. Those people affected people. D, God will protect you from Satan's attacks. Look at the end of verse 8. It says, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And it means, the idea there is, in the Hebrews, the reward means the rear guard. God's going to protect you. So as you're fasting, as you're praying, God is going to protect you because you'll be under God's will. E, our prayers will be answered. Look at verse 9. It says, then shalt thou call, and thy Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. As you're fasting and praying, he goes, here am I. I love that statement. I'm here. I'm going to answer. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And God will provide emotional stability. Look at verse 11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thy continue, satisfy thy soul in drought, make thy fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And the last one really quick here, God will use you in the path of others' lives for salvation and strengthening. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall bind the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of path to dwell in. So what happens is you're fasting, you're praying, you're affecting other people. I was listening to this orthopedic surgeon, this lady, and she was saying, stop telling people what to do and just do it and watch how around you they'll follow you, especially your kids. You want kids to do something, stop saying, you better do this, you better do that. My mother, thank God, she got saved before she died. She said, don't drink, don't smoke. As they're in the house, I was in the 70s, smoke in the house like crazy. I never smoked in my life, but my lungs are the weakest part of my body because I took in that smoke all those years. Everybody in the house smoked. You don't drink as they're having parties drinking. Doesn't make sense. She says, you want people to catch it? You want your kids to catch it? You do it. And I have to say that. I'll give you one small example. Is this exercising, staying in shape. All my girls do it. And Rachel's like, wait, that's what she does for a living. Right? So whatever you do, they'll catch it. You can't be saying one thing and doing another. And if you do, you just got to say, I'm wrong. Forgive me. I shouldn't be doing that. That's the only way out as a parent. Don't justify anything. All right, the practical steps. First, two things we'll close. Determine to fast. So today, I want you to turn. I'm going to fast. You're going to fast, right? I'm going to do it. It's when you fast, right? Second, to be faithful. It's easy to start something. It's hard to finish. Christ's sacrifice. Right? You got to finish it. You got to be faithful. And you're doing it for the right purposes. Just go back up to verse 3, same chapter. Watch this. They fasted for the wrong reasons. Look at verse 3, Isaiah 58. Wherefore have we fasted? Say that. Lord, we fasted. And thou sayest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? That's, the Old Testament term. Thou takest no knowledge. God, why aren't you taking knowledge? I'm fasting. He says, behold, in the day of your fast, what do? You find pleasure, you exact all labor. He's saying, you don't treat people right. You're living the same lifestyle, like ungodly, and you want me to do something? It's about being faithful, following God's word at the same time. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with the fist of wickedness. I mean, you're living a life like you're lost. You make your voice to be heard on high. You're selfish. He goes, is this such a fast that I have chosen for you? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is to bow down his heart as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast? So we can't be just like, oh, I'm not living for God, but I'm just going to fast this one day for this one thing. No. That's what he's saying. You know, no one's perfect, but just in general, you're following it. And then the last B put on your outline, define. Define the fat to fast. So you're going to purpose the fast, and then you're going to define it. Okay, what am I fasting for? Well, I'm asking you all to fast for souls next week to get saved and for Christians who have backslidden to come back. Now, you can add to that this week. Say your sin. Say it's this or that in your life or somebody else. You want to partner with somebody. Hey, we're going to fast this day together. We want to break this in our marriage. We want to break this. Our kids, whatever it is. And then, when do you pray? When you normally, so you're going to go about your day, don't go to everybody, I just want to let everyone know I'm fasting. So I'm going to be a little aggravated today. You're going to have to put up with it. No. You're going to go like a normal day, and then when you go to eat lunch, instead of eating lunch, you're going to pray. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to pray, you're going to eat at lunch, and then you're going to eat a breakfast. And when you would eat, you're going to pray. Obviously, put another time to that. Pray without the day. Keep saying, Lord, will you please? Say it 100 times a day. It's going to require work. And then the parameters, meaning the length and the type of fast. I don't encourage you, if you've never fasted before, to say, I'm not going to eat or drink for 3 days or a week. I'd try one day. I'd start with one day. You know, some people can go longer. It's fine, but start just with one day. And probably encourage you to drink water, put a little sea salt in there. All right. Again, best time probably, but everyone's different. Supper to supper is probably the best time for someone to do it. All right. If you're diabetic, be careful. Just take your sugar as you're doing that. All right, isn't this good stuff? I just love the Bible. I love this. It's going to require denying yourself, so you're going to do it this week. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for you, that you denied yourself, Jesus, and you came down. You left the throne, the glory, everything, and you took on human flesh, and you were hungry and thirsty, and you were mocked, and you were beat up, and you willingly went to the cross. No one looking around, you're here today and say, I just want to ask you, always ask this, do you know 100% sure that you're saved, that you're born again? If you don't, listen, today's the day of salvation. I want you to understand that you are a sinner. As a sinner, you're going to go to hell. You say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It's real. You'll have to pay for your sin. No one goes scot-free. You either believe Jesus and trust him to take away your sin, or you pay for it. It's one or the other. Why, you say? Because God is holy and just. But he's loving and merciful, and he died for you. So you can accept his mercy and grace, or you could pay for your sin. It's up to you. If you're here today, you know, maybe you grew up in this, and maybe you're sitting there today. You have no desire, you're just coming because somebody brought you here. But listen, you're hearing the gospel, and the word of God doesn't go back void. You're a sinner on your way to hell. You need a savior, please. The Bible talks about repentance. Turn from what you're trusting in and trust Jesus only. If you would do that today, you would be born again. You'd be saved, and the Holy Spirit will enter you, and you'll now live this life for God and not for yourself, and you'll find peace, joy, love, called the fruit of the Spirit. That's really what you're really looking for anyway. All right, you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ. This is a challenge to you today and a challenge to me. This requires denying yourself. You know, if any man will come after you, he has to deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, Jesus said. Will you do it this week? I pray you would. Seek to know him deeper, to break maybe addictions in your life, and pray for souls to be saved. Draw closer to God, and he'll take care of everything else. Father, thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a great week. Lord willing, be here. No Sunday school next week, 10:45. Bring the food. Pray. Don't park right here. Let the visitors, if this place is full, we'll put chairs back there. Whatever we got to do. You have to move in. Whatever you got to do, we'll do it. All right? God bless you.